Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we have Casey Weiss with us. She owns a business called Your Case for Wellness. And oh, Casey, I'm so excited for you to share with everybody what it is that you do. So do you mind giving your own introduction in a way with sharing and share with everybody? Yeah, just a brief overview of what you do.
I would love to. Thank you so much for having me. So I am Casey. I am a certified holistic nutritionist. And I help women who are done with dieting, but still have health and wellness goals so they can achieve balance with their health and nutrition in their everyday life. I came from years of having eating disorders and issues, and I just finally had enough. And it was once I finally realized the power of nutrition, as well as improving my mindset, that's when everything changed for me. And so from there, I went on to go back to school and study and learn more about nutrition and eventually started to build a business. And I'm here now.
Yay.
Oh, beautiful.
Well, we're glad you are. What did that look like before? What were you doing before? And then what was the buildup to the change and then the change?
Yeah. So I actually worked for many years in the sustainable food industry. So I worked for a very large salad chain in America. And my most recent job before I actually pivoted fully to my own business, I actually went and visited farms across America and decided where we were sourcing the produce from. So you might think that might not be super related, but it actually was, because I got to really understand agriculture and the impact of agriculture and health and nutrition. And in my job, I worked with our culinary team in a very health-focused, fast casual chain to help develop menus. So I learned more about seasonality and our food system. And that's why I have part of the reason, at least why I have such a holistic approach, because I understand where food comes from and how it gets to you. And also why it's so much more than just an inverse out equation of calories or just macros. There's so much more impact in terms of what food means to us, what our emotions when we come to the table. Yeah. And, you know, I brought that all with me into my business.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That's funny. What you just said there about what people perceive as this. So what false beliefs, I think, around food, around eating, would you like to squash that you come across so much?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So I work with women. That is, you know, my niche and something that I feel strongly to, because I very much focus on hormones for women. I very much focus on the mindset. And while there are a lot of similarities with men, me and how I am able to best help, you know, is with women. And a lot of women, what we are taught, especially from a very young age, is to eat like as little as possible. And that is success. That is success if you can eat as little as possible and be satisfied. Versus, how can we eat in a way that we can create a delicious and balanced meal that also makes us energized, also makes us feel good, but so that we don't have to freaking think about food for 3 to 4 hours instead of always stressing about food. Like, can I just have this little 100 calorie snack well pack of something and then, you know, move to the next thing? So for me, empowering women in terms of understanding that you are meant to be satisfied for your food. A big thing I kind of mentioned before is our body is so much more complicated than an inverse out equation. That's a big thing that I really try to harp home, because our body isn't just like calories in, like do its little mechanical work and then out. Mm-hmm. We have our blood sugar, we have hormones into our play. Like there's so many other factors in terms of our overall BMR, the activity levels that we're doing. And this will lead us to compare so often in a way that's just really not beneficial for our mental stability, for our health, and honestly, how we physically look. So I really like to squash those ideas with my clients, and to also get over the idea. A big part of what I talk about is to get over the idea of good versus bad food. Yeah. I am not, so where I kind of distinguish myself is that there are nutritionists and dietitians that very much are like, there are no good versus bad food. Everything's on the table. And to some degree, I do like how that brings you into the mindset of not putting morality to food. However, at the same time, I'd be remiss to not teach my clients that there are health promoting foods, and there are more health promoting. There's some health promoting foods versus other foods that are not as health promoting. But how can we reframe it instead of calling it a bad versus a good food? Because if you eat a food that's bad, then you feel like you're bad because you ate that food. And then you think that you're holier than thou for eating the good food. And so we can see how this can put us on this diet roller coaster. And I want you to be able to enjoy the foods that are more like treats, but also understand what foods are going to be better for longevity, for more energy, for balanced hormones, for balanced blood sugar. How can we do it in a balanced way that doesn't get us stressed, that doesn't get us obsessed, and also allows us to actually enjoy food?
I'm just going to slow clap a little bit. Well, I want to, I'm like, talking about morality and food, that is such a big deal. And I wonder if for some people that's going to be like a, oh shit. Oh, I didn't even think of.
I didn't know we could curse on here. I curse all the time. I curse all the time. 100% can curse.
Fuck yes.
I love it. I'm unleashed now.
You are free. Well,
yeah. I'm free to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, well, that goes back into what you just said, good and bad. I mean, we have, when we talk with our clients, there's no such thing as good or bad. It's just information. And we take that from a mindset approach. You're taking the same concept from a nutrition, from a food approach. There is no good or bad. There's maybe slightly healthier and unhealthier, but everything in balance. And maybe the perception of the food itself plays a role in the health benefits. Would you agree?
Absolutely. When we eat food with shame, it could be like the healthiest food in the world, but mm-hmm. our mental state affects the way that we process food. I'm not saying that like you thinking that Oreos are the like joyous food, and then so you're just gonna eat Oreos and you're gonna be a balanced health queen.
Yeah.
Like, no. But at the same time, our like one like example that I think will help a lot of people understand this from like a level. So how many times have you like had a presentation coming up or something that you're really nervous about, and you have like the grumbling in your stomach and you like need to poop your pants or whatever, but mm-hmm. it doesn't matter. You know, if you were scared and you're about to eat some food, like it didn't matter that it was a fiber filled food, which normally fiber would, you know, be equated with making you have to go, or if it was the Oreos, whatever, like because of our emotions, and that's not necessarily the emotions about the food, but we can see how mm-hmm. emotions play into our digestion. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing has to do with our emotions, with the food itself. And when you are eating, it also has to play with how your habits then are created. If you keep eating the same food because you're upset and you're sad, that is why I focus so much on the emotions, the food, and the mindset. So I teach my clients how they can eat in a way that's balanced wherever they go, when they're at home, when they're out, so that they can feel good in their body, so they can lose weight if that is a goal of theirs.
Yeah.
But also how they can be able to not just use food as their only coping mechanism. Because when food is the only thing that you use to make yourself happy, then you're going to keep turning to the food. And guess what? You're going to desensitize yourself. If you're always using Oreos, I don't know. Oreos are like a fan favorite. So I'll just say whatever.
Go with it.
For me, it's ice cream. But if you're always eating ice cream when you're sad, then actually that one thing that used to be happy for you is equated with sadness. Mm-hmm. And then, so you actually need to eat more of it, and you have to, because you're basically like desensitized to the you know, the dopamine rush that you used to get with that food. And so how can we be able to pair food emotionally in a more positive way? And I'm not saying that you should be agnostic to food. Like, people who are like, you shouldn't have emotions with food, like, heck no. Like, of course, like, I don't want to live a life where I'm not excited about food. I don't want to live a life where, like, I can't celebrate sometimes with food. But that shouldn't be the only thing that we're doing to celebrate. And that shouldn't, food shouldn't be the only thing that's bringing happiness in our life.
Oh, so true. Well, then it's almost as if you're putting something on food that doesn't belong there. It's like you're changing it into something that it's not.
Yeah.
It's too much pressure for the food.
It is. This makes me wonder, do you have like a point of view on then like blessing your food? Or because we, you know, I grew up in a home where, you know, we prayed before every meal. I do not do that now, but I actually will like look at my food when I remember to and be like, thank you for what you did. And you're going to do awesome things in my body. Is there something with that?
Yes, absolutely. So I didn't come from a household where we prayed before our food. I know, like I've seen homes and I've been in homes that have, and it's so much of the intentionality with food that I think is lovely. And whatever your beliefs are, I think you can use them in a positive way towards food. So one thing that you can do is like, you can literally charge your food with whatever you want to eat. And I know that sounds so like wonky or whatever, some people this may resonate with them, but like, if you're looking at your food and you're like, I want this food to give me energy. And you think about this, like this food is giving me energy. Then that is the, you're infusing that energy into it and you can then consume it. Because if you think, you might think that's freaking crazy, but if you think about like, you used to call food bad versus good, and then you thought you were bad for eating it. So it's the same approach. Also just in general, showing gratitude for your food. If you take that split second to have gratitude for your food, I bet you're going to eat your food a little slower. I bet you're going to be a little bit more satisfied from your food. I bet you're going to think twice about whether or not you want to like get the second helping. And it's not to say you can't have it, but it's because you're having just more intentionality behind your fork before you chew.
Oh yeah. Well, you maybe actually feel your food going into your body.
Yeah. You're not just distracted by everything around you. You don't have your phone out on your computer and your TV and some podcasts also playing while you're eating. The big thing too, the distraction. So even if you can have that like split moment before you eat, even if you do have to eat while you're working, just a time to turn inward for a moment can be really helpful to be a little bit more intentional with your mindful eating practice.
Beautiful. Casey, what you said there about intentional energy, we love to focus on that, the law of attention, the law of intention.
We say that more than the law of attraction. I get really eye-rolly with law of attraction. So we lean into our own idea that we've made up.
I love it. Yeah. I think law of attraction is well-meaning, but it can be overused and not truly understood. So I love this new approach.
And that approach leads into the business. So we've spoken an awful lot about the food side, the nutrition, but how that relates to your business. Because I think you've got a couple of stories, or you must work in a similar way with your business as you do with food. So that intentional energy that you put into your food, into your clients, how do you focus with intentional energy with your business as it grows?
Yeah. So I started my business basically a year ago in terms of like really going on. I had some like clients here and there. But in terms of really like your case for wellness being born was about a year ago, and it grew really fast, which was really exciting. But I always wanted to grow it from a place of me being intentional in terms of being true to me, because I knew that how I showed up on my stories, on my Instagram, like I didn't want to hide who I was. Obviously, it's become even easier to be even more like my quirky self on social media. But I knew that what I would bring out would like the intention of my programs and what I was putting out would attract them the kind of client I would want to work with. Mm-hmm. It was hard to start because at first I compared myself a lot to other nutritionists. Cause I'd be like, they do this kind of post, or they do this kind of reel, or they say this in their kind of caption. And it's actually so funny. I was reflecting on this the other day and how it used to take me a lot more time to do like batching of social media and whatnot, because I would always do research first. And now I never look at anyone. I just am like, what? Because first of all, I have a lot of clients now, so I know what their struggles are and I can speak to that. Whereas when I was starting, honestly, the energy that I was putting out was, yes, I had the story. Yes, I had some knowledge, but at the same time, I hadn't really found my voice yet. And I think that goes a lot with intention, because you may have this intention, and I had this intention from the very start to really lead a business with integrity and really help women in their struggles. But I also really needed clients to start, right? And so, I'm sure the way I was showing up on social media, it wasn't that I was inauthentic, but I wasn't able to speak from the stories that I am now, having really helped so many women at this point, having my own self-paced course, having a group coaching program, having private clients. It just, because of the way, different ways I'm able to work with women now, I'm able to really speak from their stories. And that's obviously, it's much harder when you're starting to be able to, show up in that way.
Yeah. So what would you have told yourself then that you know now to help you through that?
I would have focused a lot more on finding my voice in the beginning versus working on focusing so much on consuming outwardly and more focused on diving more deeper inward. Yeah. I also would have really, I shared my story some, but I think that just being as open and honest and really community building, the community building really has what's taken me so far. I love interacting with women, and I don't have the intention of they're going to DM me, can they be a client? No. My intention is to really build a community, because I also really believe what I do. And I think that's where I see my coaching friends that I feel are doing very well versus ones that are more struggling. The ones that are doing so well, really believe what they do. And so when they come up on their stories, when they sell their offers, when they do that, they're doing it from a place where they're they feel really good about it. The amount of money I make is, I get so excited because it's an indicator of the more women I'm able to help. And that's an amazing feeling. Versus what am I doing? How am I going to help? Or what, where is my messaging? There's all this, confusion, especially to start. Yeah. And I think it's hard, because when you're starting, you really want to prove yourself and getting those first couple clients and whatnot. So I would really tell myself, I think the openness and just the connection and really trying to build community online. And also, as I said, really focusing less on comparison and more on turning inward would be the main things I would tell myself.
Yeah.
Nice. So you're a good year into your business. You understand that you can be true to yourself, and that's how you've been able to grow so much. So you're fixed, right? You know everything. You've there's no more challenges. Life is perfect, right?
Yeah, maybe not.
So how, with people who are, we love hearing the inspirational stories of how far you've come, and the cliche is there, you do have to get started and you do have to just do the thing, and it does get easier as you make mistakes along the way. But so where you are right now, what are the challenges that you're sort of facing now that either you never thought you'd come up against this challenge, or that these challenges continue to show their ugly head?
Yeah. So one thing is, honestly, the next stage of my business, the next platform of growth. I didn't think I'd necessarily be, I believed in myself totally, but yeah, I didn't necessarily know that I would be fully self-employed, at this point. I mean, I have been now for a bit now. The trajectory of my business, I thought I would be doing this side thing with working in the corporate world. I didn't know I would pivot. And one thing people say, yeah, it's great to be my own boss, but also I don't have a boss, and that's kind of scary. And so one thing is I haven't invested in, virtual assistants and in business managers. I've really done so much myself. And I think one thing, again, kind of going back, I see a lot of people that they get I don't know, maybe they feel good about the idea that they're like, I have a VA or this or that. And obviously if you need that 100%, but yeah, there's a lot of value in learning to do some of these things on your own. Like, I didn't know how to graphic design. I download Canva and I'm a Canva whiz now. You know, like there's certain things that we can learn our own. But one thing that was been so beneficial to me always is business mentors and people that can help me. And I, that is where I've invested my money in, whether it's like business coaches, business mentors, been so helpful. Obviously, first of all, which are helping me with strategy for my business, but a lot also with my mindset and bringing me in a room with a community of other women that are going through the same things. Because it can be really isolating, especially running an online business, mm-hmm. And not having a connection with other people that do what you do. Like my connection is great. I help other women, but they're not also nutritionists, right? Yeah. Or they don't also have online businesses. And so that is something that I don't think I realized to the same degree. Like you see this, it's so glamorized, like have your own online business, work from everywhere and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But what about like the hard struggles of someone of like having the trust in yourself to just take vacation because it's on a salary job where you then, when you step away, the money is still going to come in, mm-hmm. or investing in yourself on that higher level with that. And also really doing the research with the kind of people you're going to work with for your mindset or for your strategy and whatnot. So that's something, it's a really great, I guess, issue to have. But it's something that I am still working through and, you know, navigating on my own.
Yeah. So let's talk about those voices, because it's the voices inside our head, the doubt, guilt, all these things that sort of hold us back. And they could be nasty at times. So
don't take vacation voices.
Yes. Don't do that. Keep on working. You can always do more. You should do better. Why do you do that? All these things that happen. So how are those voices for you, and what do you do to, you know, quiet, tame, bring them on board?
I think a big part of me being able to still have such a good mindset is partly Brit having community and mentors that can help me, but also not just only having monetary measures of success, because it is great to have them and I've hit numbers and it's that I've had as goals or stretch goals and I've hit that stretch goal. Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, if your only metric of success is numbers, then you are going to feel like you have to tirelessly work until you get that number. Mm-hmm. Versus if you can talk about other ways or just express gratitude every day. Actually step back here. One thing that I started to do is every night, my husband and I, when we have dinner, we talk about three wins that we've had that day. Mm-hmm. And that's a really great way to, and it could be like little things like I made a new recipe, right? Or it could be like talking about this thing with a client or a big sale I had. But when we can have gratitude and also not just have gratitude with yourself and write in your journal, but talk about it with someone else, whether you call a friend or a family member or whatever, that allows me to be able to kind of close the day in a way where I can feel more satisfied with what I do, regardless of like the amount of money that I've brought in. And that kind of goes into, as I said, like this idea of metrics of success that are not just monetary, because part of my metrics of success are also like really enjoying my life otherwise. But if you don't create some type of goal related to non-business, non-monetary, how, like, you're never going to feel like a crossing off the list or a success in other ways. So I love travel. There's other things, you know, with travel, I'm really into running and a lot of outdoor activities. Like, I'm not saying like I have this, you know, long list of a bucket list of things I have to do, but I make sure to schedule in things so that I feel like I really live a well-balanced life. And that those other things that aren't business related get very equivalent weight to the same things that are technically the money makers. Because at the end of the day, what's the point of having this business? I mean, obviously I do love what I do, but like, what's the point of having a business if I'm not enjoying my life, right? And enjoying my life includes how I'm enjoying myself in my business, but also outside of it.
Exactly. Amen. That is like the main message that we have. Like, that's what we want other people to fully understand, is that there is the pursuit of happiness isn't just wealth. That what is the point? if you are making the money, if you aren't doing all the other things.
And that lonely journey as an entrepreneur, where you found communities to help with that, it can be so lonely. It can be so isolating. And to be able to put the laptop down, put the phone away, do the things that you want to do, because there is a whole ecosystem in your world. So business success is partly, but it goes so far. Mm-hmm. So with that, what's your next step? What's the next hurdle, challenge, hill that you're looking at thinking, oh yeah, I get to climb you, but I'm not quite sure how it's going to go.
That sounds
dirty. I'm going to go back for 1 second just to briefly, I will say this is very similar to the idea of let me lose weight and let me lose as much weight as possible. But like, am I actually enjoying the journey? Am I actually happy? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the same thing with business. Like, can I make as much money as possible, but do I actually like my life? So yeah. I just wanted a quick parallel there, because that's always on my brain, right? But in terms of the next thing for me with business, honestly, more expansion of my programs in terms of my overall offering. So and also some more courses and like masterminds is something that I really want to offer in terms of a little bit more niche offerings. Mm-hmm. Right now I have my one-on-one coaching, my bread and butter one-on-one coaching, my signature group coaching program that just ended yesterday was my first round of it and was absolutely phenomenal. The testimonials I got from these women are actually incredible, but I'm going to launch another. It's going to be another new round of the new year, but growing that program. And also like, I really want to do more targeted mastermind classes and courses to really help people in different stages of their journey, so that more people can enter my world without necessarily starting out with a 8-week or 12-week commitment, because I want to be able to help women on different stages of their journey and being able to create some more targeted programs, classes, et cetera, as well as expanding my existing programs is where I see my next journey taking me, so to speak. And I'm working towards it actively, but it definitely just is a different part of business, especially with, like, as I said, the more short-term commitments that I haven't really explored yet. So I'm trying to work through what would be best for my audience, what would be actually fulfilling for me as well.
Yeah. What does feel most fulfilling for you?
When I get messages from women, whether or not they are what clients I work with, even I get messages from women who just follow my content and say that I've changed their relationship with food and changed their relationship with their body. And that is the most fulfilling thing I could ever get. Cause just from someone who struggled for so long, everything that I did was related to, did I look fat? Did I look bad? Like, what was I going to eat? What's the lowest calorie thing on the menu? What does my fitness pal have to say about what I should eat for the day? Do I want to go on this vacation because I have to wear a bathing suit? Or like literally crazy things when I was even way smaller than, I love my body, but like, it didn't matter the actual size I was. It was all what was going on mentally, like all up here. And I also know that a lot of people don't necessarily get diagnosed with eating disorders, but struggle so much, but they think that because they weren't diagnosed with X eating disorder, that then they aren't worthy of getting the same help. Like, why work on this? Like, I don't have a quote unquote eating disorder, but just you and your relationship with food and your body is truly a reflection of your relationship, like everything else in your life.
Yeah.
And so once people realize that they should value themselves enough to, you know, invest in that or work on that, whatever that looks like to them, and seeing that turning point for people is just, you know, really inspiring for me to keep going and doing what I'm doing.
Oh, beautiful.
And that's what we should all be striving for with our customers, our clients, what we want, and everyone listening. It's a nice reminder of what the target is. What the reasons, what the purpose is.
And so, then it can be done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Casey, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for sharing with us. It's been great. Yeah. Love talking to you.
if people want to learn more about you, where's the best place for them to find you?
Instagram is like the, I just have the most fun on it too. So I would say that's the best place to find me. I am Your Case, Case, for wellness on Instagram. You can find all of my links there for programs, how to work with me, or just follow me, come and say hi. Definitely let me know you came from here. I just like love answering questions for people in my community. So definitely reach out to me there.
Perfect. Good. Well, thank you so much again. And we'll hope we get to talk to you again soon.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. It was so great being on here.
So good. You're welcome.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so, so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe.
Mm.
Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
See you next time.
Bye.